And for volume two, we begin on page 163. And we have been in this chapter on the manner of our Lord's return. And we last considered it would, one of the signs would be similar to the days of Noah, in that it would be generally unknown that he was present, and the people would be going about their daily business and unaware that the Lord had returned. He's going to continue on with one of the, I think, is the most prominent signs of our Lord's return. And let's proceed by reading the next two paragraphs. There's a short one, and then one that follows, and it'll be taking us into an area that we're familiar with, but a very important area of this prophecy of our Lord. And let's see, who can I have read? I think I'm going to start with Brother Brad this morning. Brother Brad, could we have you read and the first paragraph begins, "Next we will notice scriptures."
Yeah, let me just check my mic, Brother Bill. Am I coming through okay?
Yes, good sound this morning, Brother Brad.
"Next, we will notice scriptures which teach that many in the church for a time will be ignorant of the Lord's presence and of the harvest and the ending of this age, while he is actually present and the harvest work in progress. The closing verses of Matthew 24 from verse 42 on are very significant. In verse 37, our Lord had shown that the world would not know of the parousia of the Son of Man. And now he cautions his professed disciples that unless on their guard, they will be similarly in darkness relative to his parousia. He says, 'Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come, erkomai, arrive.' If people were expecting a thief at a definite time, they would stay awake so as not to be taken unawares. So you should be ever awake, always ready, and always watching for the first evidence of my parousia. In reply to your question, 'When shall these things be?' I merely tell you to watch and be ready. And when I arrive, when I am present, I will communicate the fact to all who are watching and faithful, and they only will have any right to know. All others should and must be in outer darkness and must learn with as the world through trouble."
Okay, thank you, Brother Brad. Any thoughts on your own as you were reading through this?
Well, I think, Brother Bill, that the prophecy of Matthew 24 is largely encompassed in this thought. It takes, the period of time is long. Many things were transpiring, things that could be read about, and yet the real awareness of the Lord's return, it wouldn't be known by any until, of course, it occurred. And then I think the point he's making here is that even then, it would only be known by those who are really looking at scripture and prophecy and watching for the evidences, quite different than what others may think of, you know, thunders, lightnings, you know, every eye shall see him and so forth. This is telling us that really it has to be those who are searching the scriptures to see the evidences of his return that he would provide. And so we see that he has. Over.
Okay, thank you. I like the way you emphasize searching the scripture. And this is how we watch. We look to the scriptures to see the meaning of them. And thank you, Brother Brad. Good comments. Let's open this up for discussion on these paragraphs that Brother Brad read, watching, and also to tie it in with our manna this morning, this opening, this short paragraph that opens, emphasizes the harvest and the harvest work. And I noticed that manna comment mentioned a sickle. So at the time that was written, Pastor Russell was in the middle of this harvest and very aware of the harvest work that he was experiencing. A hand from the tower. Over to you.
I always find it interesting that even before the volumes were written, when the watchtowers were the only, as far as I know, the only publication that brethren were putting out, the title was, of each issue, was Zion's Watchtower and Herald of Christ's Presence. And I just always have appreciated that. Clear back then, before Volume 1 was even written. Over.
That's such a good observation about the title of the publication was The Watchtower, and emphasizing the need for watching and as an aid for all those that were reading these articles to help them be watchers as well. A hand from the Gutu home.
Yes, Brother Bill. I thought to ask the question, but I think I will probably have a comment. At the very first paragraph, it's speaking about the church, that some of them will be ignorant. They will not understand or see these things. And I don't think it's speaking about exactly about the body of Christ. It's speaking about some brethren in the ecclesias. They might not be very watchful. Over.
Okay. And I think this will come out as well. But, and I think he's referring back to that verse 37, the times of Noah. But there would be a few watching, and they would be used to enlighten others as well. Brother Jerry, we see your hand. Over to you.
Brother Bill, I appreciated Sister Stephanie's comment about the early announcement in the title of the journal. I've recently been doing some searching of some of those early thoughts about our Lord's return. Even before 1874, even back in the 1860s, maybe even 30 years before, there was research going on that Christ would return invisibly. So this was a background thought of which this idea was introduced of when he would return. And in Matthew 24:42, Brother Russell's emphasizing the idea of watch. If he was returned physically, there'd be no reason for watching. It would all be seen by all readily. So the invisible presence was something that was being cultivated and thought about. And then thoughts about the time and the prophecies that were developing. Even in small publications, there was a publication in England called The Rainbow, in which at one time Rotherham was the editor even. So these were thoughts that were in development. But Brother Russell, when he came to not only the Watch, but these volumes, articulated very clearly, bringing all the previous research to focus. Thank you. Over.
Okay. Thank you for that historical perspective. Thank you, Brother Jerry. A hand from Sister Margaret. Over to you, Sister Margaret.
Yeah, I too appreciated the reference to the watchtower at that time, Zion's watchtower, herald of Christ's presence. That was right on the front cover, and it was going into so many homes of Christians at that time. And so it was very prominent, that thought, which hopefully caught their attention. And then when in that first paragraph, when it speaks about the church, I took that to be in particular, or what, the church, but many of them were still in the systems then. And of course, a great work of Brother Russell's was to proclaim the call, come out of her, my people. So there were many, good Christians in the churches still, but they had not recognized these points of truth. And of course, so many did come out during his ministry. So that was more what I read into that little first paragraph there. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Margaret. That's good insight, nicely expressed. Okay. There's another hand from the Gutu home. And then Sister Robin.
Why don't you take Sister Robin, and then I'll go after her. Thank you.
Okay,
Sharon. Robin.
One of my favorite scriptures is 1 Thessalonians 5, and it's verses 5 and 6. And I think this is what it's speaking about, that we should be watching. And it says, "For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober." And, you know, that's pretty much, we have to study, be aware, apply the scriptures that we see. Over.
Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:5-6, and that ties in so nicely. Thank you for that text, Sister Robin. And Sister Donna.
It made me think of Habakkuk 2:1-2. "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it." I think Pastor Russell was very aware of the prophecies and the time features, and because of that, we have the studies and the scriptures. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Donna. What an excellent tie-in. Habakkuk 2:1-2. Write the vision and make it plain. Any additional thoughts? If not, let's go on.
Oh, wait.
We have a hand from the Gutu home. That's right, Sister Sharon.
Yes, Brother Bill. Two things on that. I appreciated what's been said, and especially the Habakkuk and the First Thessalonians. And the last sentence of the second paragraph says, "I will communicate the fact to all who are watching and faithful, they only will have the right to know." And then in connection with Brother Igor's question, I went over to page 165, and the sentence starts on 164. It says that we particularly here merely to show that in the answer to the question of the disciples about signs and evidence of the second presence, our Lord taught that neither the world nor the unfaithful servants would be aware of it until the intense fire of trouble at least commenced. So that would, I thought that would possibly be a little bit of an answer to his question. Over.
Okay. Thank you. And I hope that helps, Brother Igor.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Let's go on to this next paragraph, and let's have that read.
There's one more hand up.
Oh, there's one more hand up. Thank you, Brother Brad.
Yeah, sorry, Brother Bill. I know you keep trying to get to that next paragraph. I just was thinking about this, and I was trying to refresh my mind, but and I think Brother Jerry brought it up, but I wish I got Brother Igor's question a little better, but this idea of the first paragraph here, it seems to me that that maybe this ties into Matthew 25 and the wise and foolish virgins. And, you know, when we think about the wise and foolish virgins, clearly they're all virgins. They were all looking. That's what we're talking about, is looking for the Lord's return. They had, you know, the Adventists really got, I think, there was probably a lot of activity in that way, but we always focus in on those who were in fellowship with William Miller, and they were looking, but they didn't have the right concept of what the Lord's return was going to be. And, but they were virgins. Still, so they had, you know, not identified with the systems of Babylon. They were virgins, so they still needed to be watching those. So I think maybe this is kind of a thought that's included here, that even though you were not part of that system, or you were looking to serve the Lord, you know, in an honest and correct way, you still had to be a watcher, because it says, verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So we know the parable of the lesson there, but I think that was the concept, that they all had to still be watching. They had to still be looking to the light, which they found from the scriptures, to enlighten them about the Lord's presence. And again, the concept changed with Brother Russell, really introduced the thought of the secret presence, which I don't think was much understood before. Over.
Okay. Thank you. That was very clear. And some of the different aspects, different perspectives, different degrees of watching that were going on at that time that our Lord arrived. And nicely expressed, Brother Brad. Okay. Our next paragraph, let's see, I was going to have let's have somebody from the room read that next paragraph. I see Amanda is with us. Could you read that paragraph for us, Amanda? It begins, who then in the harvest?
Who then in the harvest is a faithful and wise servant whom his master shall make ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Blessed that servant whom his master on coming, ekomai, when he arrives, shall find doing so. Verily I say unto you, he shall make him ruler over all his goods. All the vast storehouse of precious truth shall be opened to such faithful servants to arm and supply and feed the entire household of faith. Over.
Okay, thank you. And Amanda, any thoughts on your own as you read?
Well, I am, as I have gotten the basis of my training, or I have my base in what I've been taught by Jehovah's Witnesses. So I am very eager to learn more about the true meaning of who the faithful and discreet slave is. So I'm still a little, I need a little bit more instruction and direction on this. So I'm grateful for this opportunity. Thank you,
Amanda. There's a hand from the Gutu home.
Yes, Brother Bill. I would like to say that when I moved from JW with my dad, I still remember that they're thinking that servant, it's actually a group of people. It's not one person. That's how Rutherford later on write it. What we have here, and based on the Erkomai, which is when he arrives, means Jesus, when he's present for the second time. Well, where did that happen? What was that year? If we agree that was 1874, who lived at that time? Who did this all this reformation? Who was speaking about Jesus and resurrection and restability, redemption, global? Luchika is helping. Thank you. Who was that one? And we are seeing that was exactly in that time, 1874, which was Brother Russell at that time. And we have so many proofs that he is actually the seventh angel, and we do not see anything happen after him like to be the eighth one. Because the eighth one is actually Rutherford. JW thinking, or maybe other person, and then Rutherford, vice versa. I think I'm mixing here, but that's the point. So to be a little shorter here, we're speaking where it's describing here very clearly that it is one person, and at that time that servant was used for to be Brother Russell over.
Okay, thank you. And very good comment. And there's, you draw out a lot of aspects that identify Pastor Russell as the servant that was chosen to, help us watch at that time. Thank you, Brother Igor. Sister Sharon. Let me see your hand.
Brother Bill, in that Matthew 24, it's very explicit. That's telling us what is happening in the time of the Lord's presence. And if we go to the 45th verse, Matthew 24:45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? And showing that whoever is giving us meat in due season is the wise and faithful servant. And then if you go to Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse, verse 3. And the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the cherubim, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. Brother Igor is coaxing me. And verse 11, and behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. So to us that have looked in depth into this Matthew 24 and going to 45, and because it's already been suggested in the other paragraphs that there was someone that was bringing us meat in due season. Over.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Sharon. And thank you for drawing our attention to the man with the writer's inkhorn. Very significant text. Sister Margaret, we see your hand. Over to you.
Yeah, obviously a very interesting subject. And Brother Russell really didn't identify individually in what we're reading now. And I was noticing this volume was written in 1889. Then in the fourth volume, on page 613 and 614, he does mention about there being one channel, which is a word that got picked up. But he does also address the servant if the servant becomes unfaithful. And he really, I feel he really shows his humility in all the various points he makes on this particular section in Matthew 24. And then particularly on page reprint 1946, it's titled That Servant. It's one of the Sunday school lessons. So he was mentioning how it would keep coming up and he needed to address it. And someone addressed him, or one of the brethren, I believe, as regards the thought of it being an individual servant. And even when you read this article, it's less than a page. He doesn't, you wouldn't necessarily know that it's been mentioned about himself being, that servant. And then I particularly, this is a little bit of an aside. I really, really appreciated Brother Homer's study on the penny parable and identifying the servant, steward in that case. Being Brother Russell, I hadn't heard that thought, and to me it so fits his ministry of come out of her, my people, and also go ye therefore into the vineyard. Very much his work appears to be mentioned there. So it's interesting how it's a progression. 1946 reprint was in 1896, so he did almost reluctantly agreed, I'm going to say. But I think so, we've seen so much of his work and what it has accomplished and what it still does, and the beauty of the law providing him as the faithful seventh messenger. So I really do think it's appropriate it being addressed to him as an individual, but not that he particularly wanted to see that promoted. Thank you.
What was it? Fourth volume pages.
613 and 614.
613, okay.
Okay, thank you, Sister Margaret. Excellent thoughts to bring in here. Thank you for those references.
Let's go to the tower connection.
I really appreciated the comments thus far. A lot of Margaret's comments were along the lines of what I was thinking. In the very early reprints, there were many interesting articles talking about how in the very early years there were several brethren working together with the pastor, and how one by one, working together, exploring these truths, and one by one, they fell away rather dramatically. And then I appreciated the last part of the paragraph that was read, all the vast storehouse of present truth reminds me of the 6 volumes and 6,000 pages of reprint articles. And it was a vast storehouse, and he took the work by himself after the others fell away, and did what was what he saw was I don't know, necessary isn't quite the right word. And as Sister Margaret said, is very careful not to claim this title of servant, and she mentioned the word humility, which is so, you can just read that in his comments in some of these reprint articles, that almost would say it was painful for him to, he didn't want to deny it, but he didn't want to come right out and say it. And then in reprint 4483, there's a very subtle statement that I just love. I have it written into my volume on this paragraph. Reprint 4483, if the service be shown to have been performed, the title of servant is an appropriate one. If the service be shown to have been performed, the title of servant is an appropriate one. It just makes me smile. Because, like I say, 6 volumes, 6,000 pages of reprints, and all the other work that he did. Over.
Okay, thank you for your comments and your identifying that it's really the message that he wanted to be the focus and not himself. And his message was a vast, as you brought out, a vast storehouse of precious truth, and also that it was supported, focused and supported on the scriptures. Thank you, Sister Stephanie. Our next hand, I'm going to go to Sister Ellie or Sister Linda.
Actually, we both wanted to make a comment, but I wanted to reference an article. Many times Brother Russell in the reprints referenced, contrasted this, that servant and the servants, and it's the two separate scriptures, and some brethren have come to feel that that it only applies to servants and not a servant. But I want to reference reprint 2694, and I just want to read a sentence or two. We are not therefore to understand our Lord's answer to Peter to imply that none of the household but the one are in any sense of the word regarded as stewards. Such an interpretation would be in conflict with numerous scriptures. We are to notice that the stewardship mentioned is not a stewardship of talents and opportunities, but a stewardship of spiritual food merely. And, you know, he, like Margaret said, I think that he's too humble to say, I am that servant. And it would be very awkward, actually, for him to ever say it. But there's a great implication here. Now, Linda wants to say something.
I just wanted to say, I was a JW for 50 years. I was raised as a JW, and I used to put many hours a month in. And my earliest memory is the 23rd Psalm. A friend of mine, Rick and Linda Hoy, sent me a tablet. And it had, and this is after my granddaughter died, I came back from Winnipeg, and I started to read it, and all the writings in it just made so much sense to me. And I was out in the service with my sister, and my sister was very ill, but she wanted to go out. I went out with her, and somebody came to the door, and they wanted to know why God had not known about the evil that would happen on the earth. And she didn't know what to say, so I gave her 2 Timothy. Is it in 2nd? Just a minute. 1 Timothy, and it's in chapter 7. And in their Bible, which they have revised, it said that Christ died for all sorts of men. Now they've revived it to Christ died for all men. But at that time, it said all sorts of men. And so I gave her that. She read it. And then I was given the permission of evil. And when I read the permission of evil, I knew right away that it was the truth. And so what I did was I separated from them. And I live in a building that is half of them are JWs. I wrote a letter to them, quoting Timothy and quoting the permission of evil. And I told them they basically didn't have the truth of God's word. And so they actually disfellowship me. So everybody I've known for the last 50 years no longer talks to me. But the truth of God's word that's been given to me and the joy that it makes me feel and the insight that I've gained from it is really precious to me, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that background, Sister Linda. And thank you, Sister Ellie, for your thoughts and quotes as well.
Brother Jerry.
Yeah, very appropriate. Brother Jerry, I believe your hand is next.
Brother Bill, this is all quite an interesting discussion. First of all, I would say that in Matthew 24, why is this sequence about the servant brought up in connection with what would be the signs of thy presence, the whole chapter dealing with? It's because this servant was faithful in declaring that which everyone was supposed to be watching for. And I think Brother Igor referred to that too, is that in those early years, there was one voice declaring this. I'd like to compare Luke chapter 12. In verses 42, 43, 44, 45, it's even more specific. It says, not a servant, but that servant. It's us. The servant is singular, a particular servant, not a group. In the Greek, it's clear, even in Matthew, it's singular. But in the translations are a little better in Luke. The other thing that has been mentioned here is that in comparative texts, like it was already brought up about the 7 messengers in Revelation, and if these are messengers through the gospel age, the first messages didn't have an organization, except for true Christians. There were singular voices that were addressed and shared the message at the appropriate times. So if those messengers are the same as this being the 7th messenger during our Lord's return, then we are to look a little more specifically. I would maybe address a little bit of history, and I think that Sister Linda mentioned her background with the witnesses. Very, a lot of fine people for sure there. But after Pastor Russell died, they emphasized so much this idea of a channel was the organization. It was the institution of which became known as Jehovah Witnesses in 1931, long after Brother Russell died. And it was instituted a board of directors and called the governing body. These were governing the doctrines and that must flow out of that. And not only looking at the changes that came along with what was called New Light, everyone was invited to follow the New Light, and the light that they had learned before was updated. One of them being the Lord's return was tagged as 1914 rather than 1874. And a lot of redefinitions, not only in the chronology and time, but the interpretation of prophecies. So this idea of changing, is not something that's clearly in the scriptures in that respect. The servant brought the food to the household of faith, and it has remained pretty clear ever since. So, this is one of the distinguishing marks, I think, is a singular servant. It is at the time of his return, and it matches the singular messengers that followed, that went before in Revelation as well. Over.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Jerry. Very clear and nice supporting history, and I appreciate the emphasis to the Luke referring to that servant. Luke 12. 42 to 45. Aren't we glad that this message was delivered from a single source and not from a committee? Next hand is from the Igor home.
We have three hands here. Brother Bill, will be Sister Amanda first, and Sister Arlene, and Sister Alice.
Okay. Sister Amanda.
Sister Amanda asked me to go first. I was thinking about throughout history, there have been many prophets throughout history who claimed to be a prophet, and they put forth their beliefs. One of them was Muhammad, and Muhammad said Moses was a prophet, Jesus was a prophet, but over the years their messages became corrupt, and God has appointed me to be the prophet, and he's not going to send any more prophets after me. So we kind of wrap the whole thing up, and I've read this in many sources in history. But Brother Russell never did anything like that. He never said he was a prophet. He brought forth what he had studied out and believed to be the truth. And as Bible students, and also as an ecclesia that pretty much sticks to the harvest truth message, we have been accused about that we follow a man or that we worship Brother Russell. And all of you know that that's not true. We don't worship Brother Russell. We believe he was the seventh servant and seventh messenger, and we respect him from that point of view. We don't worship him. We don't follow him. We read what he says, and if we don't agree with him and can't prove it by the Bible, then we don't accept it. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
That was very clear. Thank you, Sister Arlene, and a good point. Good points as well. Thank you for doing that. Sister Amanda, you're next.
Well, I thank you. That is, it makes things very clear. And since I have well, since I started studying with them, they have gone back on their stance on now everybody. So that's changed, which I thought was kind of.
What happened?
Everything okay?
Oh, okay. Sorry. So now I have a better understanding. They've gone back on what they said about Jesus not dying for everyone. But when they did that, I kind of thought, well, it just seemed odd. And so now going through what Brother Russell said, it just seems like they're trying to reinvent the wheel. So I appreciate the solid food, and it's all just, yeah, you look at things, and if you're looking at it the correct way, and if it doesn't sound right and you keep searching, Jehovah will bless the efforts and will provide the answers that are being looked for. So thank you. Over.
Okay, thank you. We're sure glad to have you with us, Amanda. Brother Brad, your hand is next.
Alice was also.
Oh, Alice had a thought, I think.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I'm a fifth generation Bible student, and I do have six websites, and one of them is called familymemoirs.us. And I interviewed Nodi Morehouse, my great aunt, and it was verbally recorded, but it is also printed out so you can read. But I questioned her because she lived during Brother Russell's day, and she and her husband served at where Brother Russell lived, at the house. And then when Brother Russell died and Judge Rutherford took over, there were a lot of things that happened among the brethren and at the Bible House as well. And so if you want to read about it, firsthand information, it's all printed out there. familymemoirs.us and then Nodi Morehouse or Leonora Morehouse. And that gives you the firsthand information from somebody that went through the experience with a lot of other brethren. But this is recorded firsthand. And the second thing I want to mention is the seventh messenger, whoever you say it is the messenger of the harvest work. And what separates the wheat from the tares and calls the wheat out of the system is the truth, harvest truth. That is the time of the seventh messenger. So his work is going to be specifically to present truth that will draw the wheat out of Babylon. And that's what we see in the volumes and the reprints. And now, in mentioning the seven messengers, Ephesus is Paul, Smyrna is John, Pergamos is Arius, Thyatira Waldo, Sardis Wycliffe, Philadelphia Luther. Okay, many of the brethren in those days lost their lives for following the truth of those messengers. So we know that this is not a course of triumphant recognition, but it is a course of following the truth throughout the whole gospel age, and it costs life, and it costs persecution. And that is the message of each messenger, but now in the harvest, it's the truth that separates the wheat from the tares. And it is not any one system in any of these cases. It's an individual that presented it. And then it was used by many of the members of the church in that time to bring out others into the truth. So we know that this is what is happening since Brother Russell's day, and there are booklets that the brethren have written giving the history, firsthand experiences. And my grandfather was in Chicago when a Jehovah Witness was sent there to get everybody to follow the watchtower. And my grandfather stood up and said, those who want to meet and study the volumes, we will meet at such and such, 1116 Dearborn Street, next week. And that is what separated the Chicago Ecclesia from the Jehovah Witnesses. And that is in that article also, Family Mowers at Us. That's Irving Foss. But we know that many brethren have gone through the separation, and it's been for the truth. It isn't because of any personality. But following the truth will separate the wheat and the tares, and the wise and foolish virgins, and the wedding garment. It all has to do with the truth. Over.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for that reference as well, some of the firsthand accounts. And if that URL could be added to the chat, thank you for that, Sister Alice. Brother Brad, your hand has been up. Over to you.
Thanks, Brother Bill. It is interesting, in the last sentence of that third paragraph that we read, it does seem to suggest that it's plural. Faithful servants that feed the entire household of faith. I completely agree with what has been said about it reflecting Brother Russell's humility. But in order to define it as an individual that would be given that role, and Brother Jerry did mention Luke 12, and I think it's just important, so I'll just add a footnote to that, that verse 42, it talks about a steward. It uses a different word than servant. It's the wise, the faithful and wise steward. And when you look up that word, and try and look up the words carefully between servant in Matthew 24 and steward in Luke 12, and you find that the definition is a house distributor, a manager, an overseer. It's one who oversees or is entrusted with the management of the master's affairs. And there's a lot that you can read about between Strong's, Thayer's, and Vine's that define that as the one who would be given the position of responsibility and authority over the household of faith. And that's a singular position. And I would just like to add in another text, and this was mentioned as well, but Revelation 1 verse 20 talks about seven stars that are seven angels or messengers. And there's another place that helps us to define that those are individuals, and that's Revelation 12 verse 1, which is the crown on the head of the woman with the crown with 12 stars. And we pretty universally agree that those 12 stars are 12 apostles, which were individuals. They weren't representative of a group. They were individuals that the Lord had chosen. And so if we hold to that same explanation, then the seven stars would also make sense to be individuals as well. I'll just close by saying that I'm going back to the manna. It said, if the labor be great for finding the finding of a few grapes of ripe wheat, we are to rejoice the more in those we do find and learn to love and appreciate that which is scarce and precious. Made me think of Amanda I have to say, you know, when we have somebody who comes into our fellowship and embraces what we appreciate as truth, it is rare or precious. Now, she found us. We didn't really find her, but we found her indirectly by having the website available and so forth. But it is precious, and we really appreciate when somebody embraces the truth. Over.
Thank you, Brother Brad. Good words. And Brother Rick, I'm so glad that you're with us, and we'd like to hear your comments.
Well, I have one brief comment, and that is this. I have observed for all the years I've searched for my Heavenly Father and our Redeemer's direction that Pastor Russell, for 40 years, gathered together all the ingredients necessary to present a table of bounty for the Spirit-Begotten Bride class. And he alone, as far as I know, was appointed a elder in the majority of the classes around the earth to represent, they appreciated his spirituality, his position as the servant, who, as the Bible says, prepared that food. And the Bible mentions that Jehovah and Jesus would gather with us at a table of feasting, and that servant would prepare that food. From 1879, or a little earlier, till 1914, that was the food that was presented to the Spirit-Begotten class. And as a witness for so many decades, I always turned to the two volumes that were given me of the reprints and fed on that food. Even though I was an elder there, even though I taught what they taught, but it never sunk deep into my heart the things that were out of harmony with the pastor's teachings. So I just wanted to say that this library of spiritual food I have behind me is a banquet. And the Jehovah's Witnesses or any other organization has not ever provided the depth of spiritual food that the pastor gathered with others. Others contributed, but he was the servant that Jesus contacted through the Holy Spirit and directed. I truly believe that. And if you don't study the divine plan and the studies in the scriptures, you are missing out on the most upbuilding, strengthening spiritual food available on the earth today. AI or not, use what Jehovah's provided to feed your new creature, and we'll all be happily serving our Heavenly Father forever, we pray. That's my comment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Those are good words. And I'm going to have one final thought, and we'll close. But we're so glad, Brother Rick, that you said those words and with the enthusiasm, because we know you've come through this path. Thank you. And you've joined us at this table, Sister Donna.
Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. At any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And the comment is from reprint 2978. Wait a minute. Oh, it's 2978. This serving by the master should be understood to be an individual work and not merely a collection of service and feasts.
Okay, very good. And you got a thumbs up from Brother Rick on that. Okay. Thank you. And thank you, brethren. Excellent discussion today. So we will end at this point, and we will pick up next time, on the,
bottom of 163.
the fourth paragraph on page 163. Page 163, paragraph 4, next time.
Look him up.